Well, good morning, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set again, as usual, for our Sunday morning show. And remember, baseball today, you'll be able to see the White Sox at White Sox Park, and this is going to be the final game on this homestand against Kansas City. Kansas City has run into a lot of bad luck lately, and they've had a lot of physical injuries, and that ball club is really handicapped. Even in spite of that, I didn't figure out that Kansas City was going to win again this year. I think that California has been improved tremendously, and they will probably win it. The Cubs, who got a good game out of Reuschel, they'll be in action today. And, of course, they're on the road, and they're coming home next week, and the White Sox will be away. So there's a lot to do today, a lot to see. Basketball also will be on the tube. And today we're going to talk about horse racing with an old friend of mine of many, many years, Stormy Bidwell. Stormy was in the football business. He's a prominent figure now in the racing business. And all in all, is a very, very busy man. He'll be our guest today, and we're delighted to have him. And he'll be with us in just about 1 minute. Sportsman's Park is one of the most convenient and best-kept-up racetracks in the country. And one nice thing about here in Chicago, it's only about 10 minutes from the Loop. And there's plenty of parking. It's a place to really enjoy racing. And everything is so close there that, you know, I prefer it, Stormy, to one of those tracks out east where once the horses hit the backstretch, you can't even see them.
Well, we, Bob, it's our track, we think, is a different type of track. Our fans like it. It's the one track of any in the area here or anywhere that you can go out and you don't need binoculars to watch your horse go all the way around, and you can see him the whole time. And it not only that, but he passes in front of you at least once, if not twice, on the different distance of the races, and the fans like that. They get a kick out of it.
There was a lot of publicity in the paper a week ago about the possibility that you people might take over Hawthorne. That didn't come to pass. Had it come to pass, hypothetically, how would you have broken that setup down out there?
Well, what we would have done, we don't know how we would have broken it down, to be honest with you. What we would have done is we were going to hire some architects and some planners to come in and to give us a feasibility study of what type of sport complex, with racing being the main element, what type of sport complex should be built there and how it should be built. This would have taken about 6 months, and then we would have worked from that as to what we wanted to do.
Would you have enlarged the track?
Well, I don't know. It would depend on the study. We might have kept our track and built another track on the other side, or we might have tore our track down and built a Meadowlands type of arrangement, such as they have in New Jersey. We might have gone that route. It would have depended on what the study told us.
Well, it never came to pass, so you didn't have to worry about it.
Unfortunately, that's right. Yeah.
The other day, on Saturday, in fact, yesterday, the people came up with an unusual gimmick that everybody who came to the track automatically received a daily double ticket. And I know it helped to attract a fine crowd. You did that once in a harness meeting. How did it work out?
It worked out very well. We were up around 5,000 people in attendance and in handle, and the people enjoyed it, and it was a very, very big night. It worked out real well.
Well, now, with the new system that you have at the windows at Sportsman's, which I think is a tremendous improvement, where a person can go to any window and get a ticket cash, or they can bet any race they want, or they can bet the trifecta, this must really be a great improvement out there.
It is, Bob. It started out slow because the fans and the people operating the machines, the mutual clerks, had to learn how to, you know, to coordinate themselves together. Now it has turned out is working real well. We have fans coming up to us all the time telling us how much fun it is, and especially ones who like to come out there. They spend a few races there, and then they either go home or they have other appointments to do, and then they can make their bets way ahead of time. Like a guy can leave at the third race and have all his bets down all the way through the ninth race, if he so desires. And the people like this. They enjoy it. And also, you know, the trifecta is a numbers game in a way, and people like the idea of being able to play it differently than they have before. They can come in and take a horse and say, I want this horse second with everything, or I want this horse third with everything, or I want this horse on top. Before, it was very difficult to communicate this and to work it out on the machine. With this computer, it just does it in about a minute.
Well, now, do you have a whole new computing system as sportsmen?
Yes. This is all done by a whole new computer system that was put in.
Well, that is some kind of a system, isn't it?
Yes, it is, especially when you can go to the same window, any window in the place, and give them your ticket, and they put it through a scanner, and the price comes up, what you have won, and you're paid right there.
We're talking about the new betting system at Sportsman's Park, and I had a chance to see it, use it, and enjoy it last week, and it really is quite an addition. You weren't there. You were down at my old Kentucky home, and how was it?
It was great. It was really good. It was a fine derby. I think the biggest kick I got out of it was that this horse, Spectacular Bid, is the best three-year-old around. I don't think there's any doubt about it now. I think that the people who saw that race and were in that race finally believe Bud Delp when he says he's got the greatest horse around right now. This horse is really something to watch.
You think he'll win the Triple Crown?
I think he will. Anything can happen when you walk on a track. You know, that's why I almost fainted when I read the story and I found out it was true that the man was offered $7 million for a half interest in Spectacular Bid and he didn't take it. I'd have taken it so fast, the man, I'd have grabbed that check and run because those horses are so fragile and anything can happen. He can step off the van or he can step on the track and stub his toe. But barring all that, I don't think there's any doubt this horse will win the Triple Crown.
Stormy, in your opinion, based on the years that you spend in racing, what about the variance in intelligence between a great horse like Spectacular Bid or Seattle Slough or whatever it may be, Secretariat, and the average horse? Is there a great difference in intelligence, you think?
Well, no, I don't think it's intelligence. I think it's in heart and in body. There's where the difference comes in. The breeding, the horses, the Spectacular Bids, the Secretariats, the Affirms, are well-bred horses, and they have strong bodies and big hearts, and they love to run. I think that's where the big difference comes in. The average horse, his body, you know, he hasn't been bred to really run that much, and he can only do so much. I don't think it's intelligent. I think it's strictly the heart and the body.
Now, a Secretariat baby ran second.
Yes, Diplomat Way, and did way better than I thought the horse would do and everybody else. Ran a real fine race. Did not give up and really hung in there.
They had a tremendous day. You know, I've always felt, I've seen a couple of derbies and been down there for a couple of them. It's like a World Series. It's like a Stanley Cup thing. It's something that everybody, at least once in their lifetime, should be there. Forget about radio and television. Just sense the feeling down there. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It really is. People enjoy it. I mean, you know, you get up in the morning and you get in the elevator, and that's all everybody's talking about. It's horses, horse racing, and they really enjoy it. I think that, you know, to me, I'm in racing. It's my life now, and I think that this is really the one race that we have that really shows off our sport in an A1 class rating, and that's why I really just think the Derby is super.
You know, I agree with you 100%, and I was thinking of just exactly what you said as I was looking at television. This race really does something for racing that maybe a lot of people don't visualize.
That's right. It really does. It's our one item. It's our Super Bowl of racing. I mean, you know, the NFL has the Super Bowl. That's their big show. This Kentucky Derby is the big show for thoroughbred racing.
When they got top horses like that down there, they had Spectacular Bid there and that Flying Pacer from the coast and these others. What kind of security did they have around the stable?
Oh, tremendous security. They put the Derby horses in special barns. Usually, they had a short field, so they only used about three barns to be exact. They have a board across where you can't even walk through the stalls. You can go up to it. They have guards at either end, and they've got guards walking around, checking you out at all times. The most fun is to go, and all the press are there, and they're all around these horses, you know, waiting for them to come out to work. And we got down there. We were there at 7 o'clock in the morning on Friday morning to watch the California horse, Flying Pacer, work out. And, you know, it was just tremendous. What they must have had 35 photographers following the horse from the barn to the track. It was just unbelievable. So it really is quite a show, and it's really fun to watch.
When they say the track was cuppy, what do they mean?
Well, it had rained. It had a tremendous rainfall on Thursday and Friday there, and it was absolutely slop on Friday. Now, it dried out. That track is a fast-drying track. When it dried out, because the sun came out early on Saturday morning and that track dried out, it dried out, but it did not dry all the way down. In other words, it couldn't. There was no time for it. So when they're talking about cuppy, that meant that the horse could not get his foot all the way down. He was digging out. He was digging out. If you notice, when the horses come out of the gate, I thought Franklin was in a little trouble because he broke bad, and that horse's head was up like this because all of that dirt was hitting that horse like this. And that's cuppy. That's bringing it out. Ordinarily, dirt will just come down and just go this way. This way, it was coming right in the horse's, and he just put his face away and didn't like it. And Franklin took him to the outside and kept him there. And that's the reason I think that I think Franklin's a better rider than they're giving him credit for.
Well, that's one of the headlines said that Franklin, and definitely now people realize he's a real professional rider.
Yeah, they cut over in front of him, and they weren't going to give him any break. If you remember, and you saw it on TV, those riders broke way ahead on top, and they just come right over because they knew that if they thought if they get him in trouble, they'd get him rattled. That kid just took that horse right over, just got him to that outside, laid perfect, and when his time came, away he went. I love the great remark that Delph said after the race. They said, gee, you didn't break a record. He says, nobody pushed me.
I guess time-wise, the horse really just hasn't had competition enough to really run as fast as he can.
No, and that track was not ready for a record that day. Like I said, that was a cuppy track, and they had a heavy rainfall. And I don't see anybody could expect a record to be broken on that track that day. It was a good track, don't get me wrong, but not good enough to break a record.
Well, where the Preakness will be run, that's one of Spectacular Bid's favorite tracks.
Yes, it is, and that's Delp's home. They ought to have a lot of fun at that one, I'll tell you.
Our guest today, and we're talking horse racing with a prominent man in that field and an old friend of mine for many, many years, Stormy Bidwell of Sportsman's Park. And we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is an old friend, Stormy Bidwell of Sportsman's Park, where, by the way, we're talking about big races. Well, you guys are in that field, too, next week. You've got a tremendous race at Sportsman's.
We have a nice race coming up there, the $150,000 Illinois Derby. One of the horses, however, that it's scaring the field to death, won the Thomas Nash last week by 11 lengths, William S. Farish's Clever Trick. Unfortunately, I wish he hadn't won that big because he's got everybody kind of scared. But we expect to have some really good competition for him. We're hoping to get a lot of gold who ran in the Kentucky Derby to ship in. And we've got a horse called Grand Leader from the East. He's in. He's trained by a trainer by the name of Gelpy. And we got Smartin coming in from the East. That's Woody Stevens' horse. So we should have a good field and some good competition. Should be a real nice race.
How far ahead do you have to work on a race like this?
Oh, we started. Actually, you start working on it we started in February. But you, as far as trying to do some things on it, but you really, your pressure work comes within the last 2.5-3 weeks, because then, like we were at the Derby trying to get our Derby nominations closed the day that the Kentucky Derby ran, and we were down there talking to these trainers, trying to convince them to enter into our Derby, which they did, and then convince them that if they didn't fare too well in the Kentucky Derby, don't go to the Preakness, come to ours. And that's, you know, part of salesmanship. And some of them we did convince, some of them we didn't. But you're constantly working on it. But I'd say the last 2 weeks are the roughest.
Probably the most humorous story, but it was a sad story as well to come out of the Kentucky Derby, was a story about the horse Redeemer.
Yes. Yeah, that was. That was kind of a sad.
Last by 47.5 lengths.
Yeah. Why'd you have to bring that up?
Well, I mean, it was quite a story, owned by some preacher who had a dream or something that his horse, Redeemer, had a shot. And I don't think they'll see Redeemer at the Preakness.
No, I don't think so either. But, you know, I tell you, though, I think that's nice. The guy really felt that way, and he wanted to spend the money to say, I had a horse in the Derby. By gosh, more power to him. I think it's great.
Well, it really is. Stormy, racing, there's been talk around Chicago for years that for this reason or for that reason, Chicago doesn't attract the great stables that they do at Belmont or Hialeah or out on the West Coast. We got some pretty good horses out this way, don't we?
Sure, we do. I think that the idea of we don't attract them anymore stems from going back in the early days when there was only about two tracks in New York running. There were no tracks in Philadelphia. There were no tracks in New Jersey, and we used to get a lot of stables that would ship in from New York. Now you've got people in the East who can stable at Belmont and race at five different tracks just by shipping their horses no more than 150 miles. They don't want to come to Chicago anymore because, you know, if they're all, they like to see their horses run, and they prefer to keep them in the East. I think that what you're going to see in Illinois in the next, the next 5 to 7 years, is a tremendous amount of good racing of Illinois type of breeding. The Illinois-bred horse is coming into his own and is getting better and better. And I think in another 7 years, you're going to see tremendously good horses racing here in Illinois that are Illinois-bred.
Show me, what competition is there between the flats, the championship horses, and the trotters?
What do you mean by that?
What percentage does the public, is there any indication of which the public prefers?
Well, yes, I think you have two different type of fans. Now, right now, Thoroughbred is a little ahead of Harness in the amount of people that they draw. And the amount of money that they handle that there is bet on them. The Thoroughbred handles more. They bet more on Thoroughbred, have more confidence in it, and the attendance is higher, but not by much. But I think it's a different fan. It's an entirely a different type of racing, and it's a different fan. I know at our track there are a few people that I see at the Thoroughbred that come to the Harness, but not that many. They're a whole new group of people that we see when we open up the Harness meeting.
Now, they say they bet a tremendous amount of money in New York on the Kentucky Derby, an off-track betting. Is that feasible for Chicago, and how would you like to see it handled?
Well, as you know, last year there was almost a bill passed until the governor said no, he didn't want it for Illinois, of off-track betting. If we are to have it, I am not one that's that much in favor of off-track betting because I think it takes away from the fan at the track. I think that I'd hate to have horses running around to an empty stadium. But I feel that if it's going to come about, I'd rather see it come about to where the state, the associations, and the horsemen get together and figure out the best way to do it and to have it a good, clean-type operation and an operation that would come directly through the mutuals at the track, not a separate computer, but just if you bet at a window downtown, it goes right into the odds board at the track. That's the way I would like to see it.
Well, that's a logical way to do it.
Yes, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Is that what they're doing in New York?
No, they're a little different in New York. They go through a separate computer, and they have a different setup in New York, which I do not like the New York system. I don't think that's a fair system.
So the millions of dollars that were bet on the Kentucky Derby in New York didn't go to Kentucky?
Oh, no, that was a separate deal. Separate odds, separate everything, and the money went to Kentucky. In this sense, they had made a deal with them, and they got a separate amount for the state, and a separate amount for the horsemen, and a separate amount of money for the association. I've forgotten what the percentages were, but they did make a separate deal. But that was all booked right there in New York, and did not go through the mutuals in Kentucky at all.
Stormy Bidwell, as you know, one of the arguments in baseball, and I know you're an all-around fan, has to do with the AstroTurf and playing baseball on natural grass. What do you people do at Sportsman's, for example, with the surface that these horses run on?
Well, it requires a tremendous amount of care. We use a lot of sand and also what we call river bottom dirt. It's a mixture. And for the Thoroughbred, the harness requires a lot of clay. The basic thing in the racetrack is your bottom. They have a good bottom for good drainage, so no matter what happens, that track can dry out fairly fast. They tried false turf at Calder in Florida and still have it there, but they put dirt on it. They could not use the false turf by itself. They ended up putting a lot of dirt and sand on it because it just is too hard. It just doesn't work out. The horse would hit it, and it was almost like hitting cement. And a horse has to have some kind of give when he's running at that rate of speed. He has to have a little give. And we think we have one of the nicest racing strips around. The horsemen like it. And like I say, we have a crew that works very hard at keeping it up.
With the fine protection that you give the horse, and the horse is certainly entitled to it, in your fireproofing at Sportsman's Park. I wonder, because I told you about the day that the White Sox were in Baltimore, and Johnny Longden had just brought Majestic Prince. He'd just flown him in, and he took us all out to the stable. Well, if you ever saw a wooden setup with hay all over the place, I would have slept right in the barn with Majestic Prince before I'd leave a horse like that. I wonder why they haven't changed over the years.
I don't know. You know, I think, you know, it's. I don't know why. I can't answer that, Bob. We had to change. We knew that we had to get fireproofing. We knew that we had to get better living conditions for the people who work back there, because we were getting to a situation where, the lifestyle of these people demanded it. And so we started in 1967 changing, and now we're just about completed. We have, a real nice setup for anybody who brings their horses here.
Yes, they certainly do. And Sportsman's Park is so convenient. Get out and enjoy a day of racing, and get out real soon. And remember the big, big stakes event that's next Saturday at Sportsman's Park. Our guest today is Stormy Bidwell, a prominent figure in racing in Illinois, and we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. We're delighted to have an old friend, Stormy Bidwell, as a guest today. You know, Stormy, I've got to ask you something. Somebody told me who loves to travel around the country, and they're retired, and they just love horse racing. And they say that you haven't lived until you spend a week at Saratoga. That setup is so beautiful. They have such great horses, great stables there, social events every night. What about it? Have you heard about that, too?
Yes, I have. Unfortunately, I've not been able to get there. I'm going to work on it again this year. I tried to get down there last year, but we had too many things going on. I'm going to try this year. They say that it is just exactly as you described, that it's a very old world. It's a social event. They have great horse racing. We all know that. They have some just fantastic horses there. And they just have one heck of a good time. It's almost like going to a country fair, and they really, really enjoy it. And I'm hoping maybe to get down this year and take a look.
Last year they had, my friend was there, they had both Affirmed and Aladar there, besides a lot of other great ones.
Yes, right. And like I say, everybody seems to come back smiling and having a good time no matter what happens. They really enjoy it.
While your interest now is racing 100%, I have to ask you, do you miss participation in professional football?
Well, let me tell you a story on that. I bumped into George Allen, who, as you know, is looking for a job in football again. And I bumped into him in Louisville, and he asked me the same question because he's wondering if he wants to go back in. The first 2 years I tried to get back in some capacity and really missed it. After that, no, I don't miss it anymore. It's not the same. It's not the same type of individual. The people I dealt with were all first-class, high individuals. And now the ones I'm reading about in the paper, they don't seem very classy to me. And I'm glad I'm not in anymore.
Well, what do you see as the principal change in the game?
I think the attitude of the player and the management is the big change. It used to be that there was a comradeship between management, between the players, between the coaching staff. There isn't that anymore. Now it's just, we don't care about you. You can, as long as you produce and we're paying you that money, otherwise you can drop dead. That's the attitude I read, and that's the attitude I see. On the part of the player, he was always one that, it was for the team and to try to have a team effort. You don't have a team effort anymore. They're all out for their own self.
One of the things you can say for the National Professional Football League is they did come up with a better deal than baseball has.
You mean as far as...
As far as the players and salaries and, a fella can say I'm a free agent and you don't get anything for him. I can't figure out how they ever got boxed into that kind of a deal.
I don't know. I don't know how they did either. I'll tell you, I really don't. Matter of fact, I wish I'd been their representative. I'd have had some fun with that one, Bob, I'll tell you.
Were you surprised at Wilkinson going into the St. Louis picture?
Yes, I was very surprised until I heard, some reasons behind it and everything, and it made sense. Yes, I was very surprised his even wanting to go into back into coaching. But he's a fine man. I have not had a chance to talk to him since he's been down there, but he's a very high-class gentleman and doing a good job.
Well, he certainly did a surprising job, I thought. Everybody said, well, he's too old for it, but his knowledge is still with him, and he's a gentleman, and certainly the players would want to play for him.
That's the whole story right there. He's a gentleman, and the players want to play for him. That's it.
When they talk about pro football in Chicago, they talk about Hallis, but they also got to talk about somebody who I knew very well, and that was your dad.
Well, yeah, he really enjoyed it, and he never got to see his championship team. Unfortunately, he died in 47, just as they won the championship. But he really enjoyed it, and he built that team and did a great job. You know, you talk about those people, the Hallises. Have done a heck of a lot too. They really worked at it, and the old man is still strong. He is really something else, I'll tell you. He's still giving them fits at that office, I'll tell you.
Well, I don't know whether he ever did have a all around backfield like you fellows did at one time, and you know the four guys I'm talking about, starting with Chrisman.
Yeah, Chrisman, Harder, Trippi, and Angsman. And I haven't seen Pat in about 3 years. I see Elmer Angsman quite often here in town. And, you know, Chrisman, of course, passed away.
Yes, Paul Chrisman passed away, one of the really greats. Well, we sure enjoyed having you as a guest on our program today, and I wish you lots and lots of luck. And every time I get a chance, I go out and enjoy Sportsman's. It's convenient, it's a lovely place to go to, and it's horse racing at its best. Hope you have a tremendous crowd for the big event next Saturday.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you. Our guest, Stormy Bidwell, one of the prominent figures in horse racing. We've enjoyed chatting with him today, an old friend, and his dad was a friend of mine, too. Anyway, have a nice day. There's baseball on radio and on television. There's basketball on as well. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Sunday at our usual time.